I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in a Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Hey, turn over to 15. Let's go to key of G a minute. I am thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering in. How he'll raise a heavenly anthem in that meeting in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we're washed like stone and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession order on the streets of gold when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, o'er that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, I'm washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story on the strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then his angels all will answer, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout, I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed, let's all stand, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow at real sin. I will shout, I will sing when redeemed gathering in. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and alone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day. As I walk with that heavenly dove, let me go all a while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never endure.
path, free from wrath, and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Shake a neighbor's hand. Let me alone with that heavenly love. Let me go all the world with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Change of service, go to D. D. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I should believe
you.
Do you?
I want to see.
And how do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
You want to see him, then he'll make a way for you to see him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1 and John 1. Ephesians 1 and John 1. Now, we had to cancel, everybody knows, the fall festival this past Saturday because of the bad weather. But as far as right now, we're supposed to have it on the 31st. Of this month, which would be the last Saturday of this month. So remember, just push everything over to that time. And also remember that Brother David Gadman will be with us on the November the 8th, preaching for that weekend. So remember these things. Any other announcements?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, tell everybody that we talked to Tyler today.
Yeah.
And he said to tell everybody hello. And
that
he loves everybody.
Amen. Good. Tell him we love him. Amen. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, Ephesians 1 and then John 1. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity here in the middle of the week to be able to come together to just take a little time and have a little fellowship time, Lord, around your word. And we pray that you would just open our understanding because that's the the thing that we need more than anything is for you to come on the scene and open up your word to our hearts and our lives and reveal yourself unto us. Lord, we've read your word, we've studied your word, but we need it revealed. And Lord, we know that that'll take from you the only one that can do the revealing. And just have your way with each one of us. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace and love and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1. We'll begin reading from verse 3. We'll probably be reading this scripture for quite a while as long as we're in this series that we're on. See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. All right? Now, you'll see as we go along through the series why we're using that lengthy reading, but it explains the beginning all the way through where we're at and what it turned out to be, right in what we're reading, okay? Now, we'll read in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Now, we're starting a series. I preached there on the 2 weekends ago on what I saw on predestination and done it in a one long service because of the problem with the electricity, you know, the power being out all over this section of the country for the trees down and the stuff like that. And so I decided I had thought about doing it for many weeks when I were preparing to minister on this. I had thought, well, I need to just preach a message all the way across just to show everybody what I believe, you know, and take it all the way through the message and go out to the end and then come out into being to where we're at and then back up and go real slow in the points of reading the scriptures and the things. And I hope the tapes are downstairs. I hope you listen to them. There's a couple of blank problems in it because of blips, you know, where the power was on and off and up and down. And I wish that you that have not heard the message would hear it. And I wish that you that have heard the message would hear it again. Okay? I just wish you would, because if you want to know what I believe about predestination, then go get the tape, sit down, and just listen to it, because I tried to make an overall view of the whole thing all the way up to where the Brother Branham said that how it's unfolded to down to this present hour. Well, notice that. We'll get back to that one of these days. See, you can't speak on out into the further, especially on predestinations and the things, you're going to run aground. So he was saying it in Christ the mystery, that it unfolded right down to where he was at, in other words. Well, I believe it's unfolded down here 50 years later where you and I are at. All right? Because it's, you know, it's in that order. But I done that. I preached it all the way through and just tried to cover some things about predestination. And you, when I start on it, you'll begin to pick up maybe the way that I'm presenting it to, you'll see what's on my mind. But I ask you to do me a favor. Don't just run out ahead of it. And just because I make a statement that's a little contrary to your little belief, then you just, the computer goes off, the brain stops, and everything don't work. At least listen. And like I said, if you hear me say something through the series, go back, listen to what I preach. If I've changed anywhere in that part of doing it, then bring it to me and let's talk about it. You know, because that was the purpose of doing that, to show you the whole thing. Now we'll back up and prove it. Because we're talking about predestination made simple. I don't see why there's such a problem. I never have understood why that there is such a problem about predestination. I do understand it in this respect. It is because mankind has his own idea about it. And like I've told you, don't go in the Bible and try to find predestination. It's not in the Scripture. The word predestination is not in the Scripture. It's predestinate or predestinated. All right? See, then that way you'll follow it through that, seeing it and come out to the end. But I've already told you what I believe. I believe in the foreknowledge of God. Right? But there is some things that we said Sunday a couple of weeks ago there that we have never said too much about. And don't run me off into the wrong category when you begin to hear it and think, well, I know what he believes. Well, do me the favor of listening to do that. I would with you. And, you know, I know, and like I said on that tape twice, I said, you will get together and you will talk about what you don't agree with what I say. But just remember, you may be red-faced in a few days when it comes out back and the message lines up. So, you know, go ahead. Talk among yourselves. But just remember, you'll be going into schism to do that when I'm asking you not to. I'm asking you to simply listen. Because I believe predestination is so simple till even a child can understand it. Huh? Now, may I quote Brother Branham? Can a child have a new birth? What about the most illiterate person? Can they get the new birth? Brother Branham said they could. Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said that mystery could be revealed to the most illiterate. Yeah. I think we need to pray for a revelation, all right? But just do me the favor and say, well, okay, I'll just wait this thing out, and then I'll just tell Brother Dale I don't agree with him. And that's fine with me. I don't have no problems of doing whatsoever. All right, to start out on predestination, it's in the church age book there somewhere that Brother Random was talking about another point, but he made a statement. And he said things would be able for people to understand better if everybody believed in the oneness of the Godhead. All right? See, if you could start out with the oneness of the Godhead, then you're not messed up in many different forms and ways of doing things because of your thoughts on predestination. And see, I'm going to lay in some things along the way that's going to be eye-opening to you. And I will go ahead and ask a simple question. If we're only dealing by foreknowledge on the basics of predestination, and we must do that, we'll give all of the quotes, we'll give the things and go through and cover it. And I'm a firm believer in foreknowledge. All right? But if all we can hold is a foreknowledge, then you're dealing with bordering on the point of making God a respecter of persons. You say, no, foreknowledge makes it where he's not a respecter. It might turn out a little different. So I would just listen. And trying to get it to a basis of understanding of what the prophet has brought to us on a big scale and laid it out before us to be able to follow. And see, I'm a firm believer that, now I'm not talking about human mistakes Brother Branham made. I'm not talking about where that, like he taught the white horse rider as being the Holy Ghost and then was corrected. I'm not talking about those things, but I'm talking about one thing. If Brother Branham taught something and you think it's wrong, I'm going to believe him first. Now, that's his basics of where we're going, all right? See, it's not what your ideas are mine. I'm going to believe him first. And believing him first, I'm going to wait and see. And if you'll wait sometimes about it, you'll see that things will just come together. And you'll find out there was no other way of him saying it than the way he said it. Because if we make our own ideas, we make him the wrong way. All right. But now, let's think about something. Basically, tonight and maybe Sunday and parts, we're going to be dealing with about God and his doings and beings and things, and trying to get it laid out into the basis of understanding it. But see, I know what the human mind does, because mine does the same thing, okay? That's the reason I know what your mind does, because mine does. I don't blame anybody and say, well, this, that, no. I just know how the mind works. The word God. Oh, the word God. We know now that the word God is not correct. Because you've got to have something to worship before it can be God. Oh, we understand that. Oh, we got that wonderfully. But does that mean I can't call him God? Have you ever heard this thought in the message of the people? They say, now we know who to pray to. You never heard that statement? Now we know who to pray to. Well, listen, you can believe what you want to. When I was a Baptist, I prayed to God. And I prayed to Jesus. I just had it mixed up. All right? And so did you. All right? But see, it's not a different God. It's like Brother Branham in saying it. If you think about the things he brings out, and he said the name of Jesus had to be restored there between the 6th and 7th church age. You remember that? And said the name of Jesus was being restored. Well, what was he called from about 14 up to, or 12 or 13 up to 15, 1600? Was he called Joe, Jim, Charlie, or what? What was he talking about? Said the name of Jesus was restored. That sounds like that it means that it was gone, it was lost, and he was called something else. Well, we know better than that. But what was it? It was the revelation about the name and knowing the name and seeing who it really was. See? I'm making those statements to where that we won't run off and do and, you know, and just say, well, Brother Dale don't understand it because he talks about God before the foundation of the world. Well, you know, Brother Branham does. So that's up to you. You can, you know, he calls him God. And, you know, there's no problems with us doing that, is there? But just think about this. Now, I've got a compound title. It's according to how far I get. We're going to be dealing with in the beginning, all right? And if we can, we're going to get over to, and if not, we'll pick it up Sunday, of this great being that I want to talk to you about. Now, in the beginning, That's, I'll read you a quote in a minute where Brother Brown said it's, you can't go back no further than what your mind comprehends. All right. But it's four times, I'll use three, later on I'll use the fourth one. It's four times in the Bible using the words in the beginning relating to God and his doings, and I'll hold that fourth one for later. But in Brother Branham's message, it's 1,125 times that he talks about in the beginning. All right? And we have our thoughts in our mind about a beginning. And we say, oh, that was a beginning. Well, the furthest you can go back in your human thinking, I said human thinking because we go by way of the prophet back. All right? In human thinking, the furthest you can go back is to go back to Genesis 1. Where it says, in the beginning. Because that has a starting point. All right? But now, get it away from your mind that any time you use the word beginning, that it's got to mean a starting point. Because we're talking about an eternal God who never had any beginning. All right? There was no beginning. He always was. All right? And then when we get to the one where Brother Brown said, in the beginning, but before the eternal. Amen. Now, a seventh grade education man saying that, don't you think him theologians sitting there just giggling? But then when he went down through there and explained it and said, if I told you the truth, let that God that I'm talking about come on the scene and said, if you can do it, come on, get up here with him. Well, they shut up, didn't they? Because they didn't know what he's talking about. Well, do we know what he's talking about? Where it speaks of in Revelation 3:14, and it says, talks about the beginning of the creation of God. Does that mean there was a time God had a beginning? But yet, Brother Branham, as we'll read after a while, if we get to it, he says, God was his first creation. Mm-hmm. Now, see, then we have to use the human language to talk. But the human language is, no matter what language you would be speaking in, it is massively confusing about words. They were developed by someone to try to express a thought, a concept, and it doesn't matter what language it is, Greek, Latin, English, Spanish, whatever it is, it's massively confused. It's not just the English language that the prophet would say that, you know, come on board. Said, now what does that mean? Said, because there's many words there of board. Said, you can say I'm bored with you and stand on this board or whatever. But remember, the one thing that we don't like, or the people of this message, especially the preachers, they don't like this kind of a statement. That, why not be real simple about it? Come on board, stand on this board, because I'm bored with you. Now, do you have any problems with what I said? No. You know what I said. I was talking about three situations, right? And self-explanatory. All right, now here's my point. The before and the after always explains what you're talking about. Come on board. Stand on this board because I'm bored with you. Now, each one of them is self-explanatory. But yeah, we can get so educated in our mind. I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about bored. See? All right. See, that's why we need a revelation. Now, revelation is never confusing. Revelation is simple. There's one problem with the mind. Revelation is simple. Once something is revealed to you, truly revealed, you see automatically that it can't be any other way.
Right?
So it's not an argument of whether you believe it this way and I believe it this way. Well, Brother Dale, it's just the way I believe it. Has all of us got to believe the way you believe it? If I'm right. But if you're right, we got to believe it your way. Right? Is that sensible? Is that exalted, or is that any kind of a derogatory statement? No, it's the truth. So when it says in the beginning, where can our mind go to in that situation? If we were only going by education, we would never be able to go any depth of understanding. If we were going simply by what this word means compared to this word means to this word. All right. But when you go and say, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Yeah. That's the beginning.
Amen.
But what about what we just read of John 1, 1 through 3? That where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the Word is what created the world.
Right?
Right. The beginning of the world came because the Word had been spoken. All right, so there had to be a beginning back behind that. So now we've backed up a step from just Genesis 1. Hebrews 1 and 10, this brings out the creation of the world and the things and speaks of the beginning. I should bring it out and just speak on it a while, but there's a little scripture over there that really amazes me, that it speaks of something and talks about that I was in the beginning with God. I was in the beginning when all these things come to pass. You know what it's talking about? Wisdom. Not talking about individual people. It's talking about wisdom. Huh? Wisdom. I, wisdom, have understanding, it says. In the Proverbs 8. I think it's about 9, 10, somewhere along in there. Anyhow, you read it. But my point is we got to establish one thing for a certainty. Only by way of the prophet and believing what he taught us can we proceed any further backward than Genesis 1 and 1. Because your Trinitarian goes back to John 1 and says there's three of them running around up there together. Said, see there, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and... Well, that's definitely not a good answer of what we're trying to find out about a beginning.
Amen.
What about a beginning? See, get away from the beginning as being a word that means something was not and then it began. Why don't you deal with types and shadows and the different things? You know, these big ocean liners that are running up down on the ocean today, you know, maybe 50, 60 miles an hour. You know, it had its beginning in an old Indian carving him out of a canoe, out of a log. Sure, a lot of difference in it, ain't there? They came along with all this other, said, look, we got a beginning. No end is it. Me doing that to start with. All right. You see, my point is to see how far back in your mind that you can go to talk about this eternal God that we all are supposed to be believing. How far can you go back in your comprehension? Right? So we go back by way of the prophet in him giving us definitions. Right? So we can follow him back. Because he said on Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said, let's go back into the what? Amen. He said, the back part of God's mind. Right. Hey, science ain't even got through with the front part yet. They don't even know how it works. The prophet talking about going back into God's mind. To where he was not God. Because God means an object of worship and there was nothing to worship him. Going back, if we can get to it in a minute, to the self-existing. And to realize how real he is. But how real is your God? Well, God is just a spirit. Well, that's the Bible. But see, then we have to go by way of understanding, by the prophet's understanding, we can back up into God's mind. And you know, this is what amazes me, that we think that, we need simple things taught to our children. We don't need deep things taught to them. Well, you need to talk to your prophet, because he could stand up there and preach the deepest message you ever seen, and the kids would weep their way to the altar. Maybe it's what we're doing that's not running it correctly. To me, the greatest, simplest thing there is in the Word of God is to understand one true and living God. You tell me something else more simple. Because if you can get to the basis of understanding one God correctly, you're not going to have him up in heaven somewhere. You're not going to have him over the sea. And you're not going to have it over here or over there. You're going to understand him. I thought that that was the entire reason or meaning for bringing of mankind into being, was to reveal himself to us. Right. Yep. So, right. So it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. How far back is that? That's further back than Genesis 1 and 1. Because you've gone back into comprehending God. And see, in the Bible, it's not trying to find out where something starts, because that's the word beginning, or creation. It's, we try to make it something where it began. But see, in terminology of the Bible, it's not to find out whether anything began. It's for him to reveal what took place, the reason it would be called a beginning. Why he would speak of anything as a beginning? Why would God speak of it as a beginning? But let's just talk about it a little bit. That's what I said. Let's go back by way of the prophet and just let him say some things unto us. And just watch the wording of it. Go ahead, brother, and pick up number 3. But I love Hebrews, while they're pulling that up on the screen, I love Hebrews 1 and 10. And it says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Come on. Now look. This is from the message called Word Become Flesh and India Trip. Go ahead up to number 4. Paragraph 162, 54, 1003, the morning service. In the beginning, now let's get some real. Here I see something, and the Holy Spirit must have ordained this to be. So, see, I see a great thing here. In the beginning was the Word. Now, you can't go any further back, mentally speaking, than in the beginning. Amen. Is that what I was saying a moment ago? You can't go back any further, mentally speaking. All right. In the beginning. Before there was a world, before there was a star, before there was a sun, moon, anything else, for there was any creation, that's in the beginning. Is that right? Now, as far as we can go is back to the beginning. Now, he done took you from the beginning of this life creation and brought you back up into back before there was a moon, a star, a sun, or a creation. And he calls it a beginning. And in the beginning, God was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was with God, excuse me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then the Word was Jesus Christ. Is that right? Oh my. Then who was the, in the beginning was Jesus Christ. All right. Now, going back past Genesis 1:1, because that's physically creations. Right? Let's go back and let the prophet just deal with it a little bit. Go ahead, number 5. Hebrews chapter 2, paragraph 276. Now, so God was in the beginning before there was anything. Before there was an Adam, before there was a star, before there was anything visible. God filled all space, and that was nothing but purity, pure love, pure holiness, pureness. Right? It's beyond anything that we can imagine. Back before anything, your prophet now is using that as the beginning. Not a beginning of a time element, a beginning of an understanding element. A beginning of a revealing to mankind the eternal God. And he's already got us back before the foundation of the world. And doing it in the beginning. Huh? See? Before there's a star, God filled all space. What do you think about God? How real is your God? How far can you go back in your thinking? I say we have the prophet to go back by, that he gives us the statements, the wordings and things. All right? But how far can you comprehend going back? We'll get over it in a minute to where he comes back to self-existing. Can you go back that far in your thinking? But how real is your God? Well, Brother Dale, God is just a spirit. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Let me illustrate. I just added one word. The Bible does not say God is just a spirit. That's all it takes. You done goofed up. It says God is a spirit. He is. Present tense means all the way back, never existed. But see, just to put a little just, God is just a spirit. I told those two soul people about it when they were talking about it, and they quote Brother Branham, and they still quote him around the world and quote him incorrectly, and they quote him as saying, the soul is just the nature of the spirit. I want one quote for that out of the message. Brother Branham didn't say that. He said the soul is the nature of the spirit. See, you just added one word. You misinterpreted the whole thing. I thought that that was all it was in the garden. But yet we can play with all of this, all kind of words off to us. It just took one to get us out. You see why Brother Dale is so particular? I know it. But look, go on to the next one, number six. A greater than Solomon is here. And look what he said. In the beginning, before there was anything, it was God. Before there was a meteor, before there was a light, before there was an atom, before there was a molecule, he was God. But he couldn't. He was the great controlling power of everything, and he was everything, and he was everything in him. All right. What about it? What about the next one? Go ahead to number seven. The God of this evil age. Paragraph 67. In God's own thinking, God the Great Spirit, in the beginning, before there was a beginning, he was God. And did you know you were in him then? I'm going to leave that out, but we'll get to that one way later, about 20 sermons down the road. All right. But what is he saying? In the beginning, before there was a beginning, he was God. But no, he wasn't God because God is an object of worship. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? That's what I said. We think we know so much until we run ourselves off the end of the... I love this one because this is the one you know that I'm always quoting. Go ahead to number eight, which is from Who Is This Melchizedek? Paragraph 56. St. John, the first chapter and the first verse. Notice this is, in the beginning, but before the eternal... Notice, in the beginning, but before the eternal. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. And when time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was attribute. Now, he's done backed up past Word. He's done backed up past Genesis 1. He's done backed up past John 1. Yep. As to back before it was Word. You just smashly confused me. No, I don't. You fend that away. That's what your problem is. You won't listen. You've got it all figured out. Huh? You won't listen. What is it? In the beginning was the expression. Back now as an attribute or even as a thought before the Word comes into being. But what about someone that could be in the beginning but before the eternal? What's the prophet trying to explain to us? Did he humanly make a mistake there? I choose not to do that. I choose to try to understand, because that's an easy cop-out. I'll take what he says over here compared to what he says over here. Now, you don't realize what you're doing. You just made him a false prophet. Unless Brother Branham corrects it himself, we better stay with what he says. All right. What about this great person? What about your God? How great is he? That back even before anything could be comprehended by the human mind of beginning, that he was back past there, and even on back past what we use the word eternal. Because simply eternal means like a circle. Do you need that quote? I've got it, okay. where the prophet said it's like a circle, has no beginning and no end to it. But is that as far as you can go? Because you're just running in a circle. That's not the definition of eternal. Well, it is, because it means there's no beginning and no ending. Hey, I'm glad you said that. Because if you're saying that there's no beginning and no ending, there had to be some place to start a circle. And when it was joined together, it made a circle. Back on up a little further. Back on up until you can really see the eternal God. But how do you think about him? One great man up north years ago, Brother Collie and Brother Fred and some of them went up. He put out some books on God. And his definition of God was that God was just like the wind, just blowing. Amen. Here and there. Well, I knew that wasn't the definition Brother Branham gave. So I kept searching. All right. How real is your God? Well, he's just a spirit. Well, let's use some thoughts. If God is just a spirit, then he created you just a spirit. Because you're created in his image. Did that stop that? If God is just a spirit, he created you just a spirit. So you're just a spirit. Well, yeah, that's what I am. I'm a spirit. Well, Jesus said one day like this, he said, touch me because a spirit hath not flesh and bone. How real is your God? You said, but Brother Dale, to our children, this is deep. It's a deep. What's deep? What is deep? Your children believe in fictional things that do not exist. Santa Claus. Bunny rabbits. That they don't exist, but yet to you they exist. What about it? How real is your God? Now I always say this at this time of the year, because when you're coming up close to, and maybe that's why I use that phrase, you're coming up close to Christmas, you always get into the doctrines of people, you know. Now, we don't put up no Christmas trees in the church. Amen. We don't decorate the doors outside with wreaths and hollies and things and mistletoes. Right. Because, come on, if you're going to put up mistletoes, you know what happens under the mistletoes. Oh, you get some sugar under the mistletoes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's silly. No, I make my statement this way every year, and I'll make it a couple of services where everybody will hear it. What? If you want to put up a Christmas tree, put up one. There's no problem. Brother Branham did.
Amen.
No problem.
Amen.
But if you don't want to put up one, don't put it up.
Right.
There's no problem. And nobody here, if they do, then they'll have to answer to me, because I'll publicly denounce it from the pulpit. If someone beats on you because you put up a Christmas tree and they ridicule you about it, just let me know. I'll take care of it from right here.
Right.
But don't make no fun of them that put one up. Don't make no fun of them that don't put one up.
Because
that ain't none of your business. It ain't none of your business what the other person does in their house. Right? That's just plain. Huh? We can go through the prophet's message with a lot of things, but what good is it? If you don't want a Christmas tree, don't put it up. If you want one, put it up. Then forget it. I said that since the day I came in this message and heard the prophet. Because, come on, I can make it real hard. Your prophet put up a Christmas tree. If you're going to make that scripture over there where you go into the woods, cut down a tree, bring in the house and decorate it, you got troubles. You got Brother Branham doing that. That ain't what that scripture's talking about. That scripture's talking about making an idol. If you make an idol out of your Christmas tree, you've made an idol out of it. So leave it alone. If you want one, put it up. If you don't want, don't put it up. And if anybody says anything to you derogatory either way on either side, let me know it. I'll address it from right here and call the names out, and we'll see what it's right or not. But I'm just saying, church. See, we get all of these things in our mind that we think this is right, that is right. A certain brother used to talk about them egg-laying rabbits at Easter. Said he'd never seen a rabbit lay an egg. What? It's no problem. That's okay. Go on. What about this statement, in the beginning, but before the eternal? And he says, in the beginning was the Word. When time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. All right? Now, how real is your God? One of these days I want to get down and preach on the new birth. I know it'll follow into this series. But what, how real do you think God is? Well, Brother Daly is just a spirit. Well, Brother Branham says he's not like the wind. So now, how real is your God? I would like for you to knock on the wood in front of you and see how hard that is. Then knock on your head and see how hard that is. Right? You know I mean a point by that, right? You mean that we are more real than the God that created us. No matter, even if there's nothing else about salvation or whatever, we look around and we see the trees, the land, the ground, the doings, and see how it is and see how great it is and how that God made us. Amen. You mean we're more tangible? We're more real than He is? Now, I made this statement there the other week, plain. I don't believe that there was a time back in the eternities of eternity that God sat back there with a whole bunch of super people like coming off of Mars or something and some kind of Superman outfits and all. Because, no, the prophet called him self-existing. So we got to go back to the self-existing. Right? That's why I said about predestination. Be careful how far you predestinate yourself. You might predestinate yourself out of existence. Because if it's non-existent, then he dwelt alone. But how real is your God? Oh, but he became real. He became real in Jesus Christ. Amen. He became human in Jesus Christ. But what about back before the great eternities that you can even comprehend anything and to know that God was real? Don't just make it a spirit in that way. You're going to get it to you how the fugitive of your imaginations is going to run wild with you, and you're going to wind up with these spirits and all kind of things. people are scared of any form of spirits. Spirits can't hurt you. They might make you hurt yourself, but they can't hurt you because they're not in the realm you're in. Right? I'm just trying to get a little bit down on one God. What do you think about one God? Well, what I think happened was, Brother Dale, he was just a spirit till the River Jordan, and then he finally become man. And that's kind of some of these doctrines today. Huh? But what about God? How real is he? You said, but we can't see him. Why not? Brother Branham saw him. Amen. That's what I was bringing out the other day. You remember Joshua? Joshua looks over and sees that man. He snatches out his sword. Boy, he takes off after him. Must have been pretty real to him. He said, are you for us or are you for the enemy? He said, I'm neither one. I come to take over. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. He knew who he's talking about. He fell down to worship. He knew who he's talking about. You said, well, God had to take on a form there. That's exactly right. But don't you think he had a form before he ever started taking on any form? Come on. Oh, but there was a time he started taking on form. Well, what was he before then? What's your idea of God? But how real is he? Let's get a few quotes from Brother Branham and let's just see how real Brother Branham thought him about being. May I start this off? It's not on there, but there's probably about 30, 40 of them. May I make a statement? That a man was standing one day and a fellow challenged him. And God came on the scene and a picture was made. It hangs in Washington, D.C. Right? What was the statement the man's made? He said, cameras won't take psychology. In other words, may I interface to that? You can't take a picture of a spirit. Amen. Right? It's got to do something. Let's see. Right. What did Brother Brown say about it? He said the only supernatural being that was ever photographed. Said the man said, the object, in other words, put it in plain language, the object of what come out onto the picture was standing there. A supernatural being. About 3 months down the road, we'll talk about how the soul of an individual, that Brother Branham calls it, a supernatural being. I'm looking at real people. You mean God is not more real than that? A supernatural being. Huh? Now, it didn't look like Hoffman's. Right? So don't go running around all in your mind. It was the form God chose to bring forth at that time. But it was a supernatural being. How real is he? May I remind you of some statements Brother Branham would make to show the realness of God? and how close he was to him. When people would come up, and some of you were there when it happened, and when people would come up into his presence, and he'd say, "Now, don't get afraid." He said, "I know you recognize that there's a presence here." Was that just a spiritual, you know, chill bump? No, no, no. Brother Branham wouldn't have said that that way. He said, "He's here." Right? Who? He. But look, so let's see what he says about how real he is. Go ahead to number 9. It wasn't so from the beginning. E10. Now listen to Brother Branham. And don't try to get ahead and know that I believe that he's God and I believe that he's the... Just read. Right? Now, God is omnipotent, omnipresent. By being omniscient, omnipotent, you know, what is that one? All right, and he's omnipresent, which means it can be anywhere, all right? And being omniscient makes him omnipresent. Now watch. And he knows all things. But God could not be just like the air is because God has a dwelling place. If I would remind you a little bit, if you need to read your Bible, you might find it by reading over in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 about heaven and the city coming down. You might read in chapter 5 of how the 4 that John's taken up. But is heaven real? I think it's more real than this is. Look, God could not be just like the air because God has a dwelling place. God is not a myth. He's a being. God, Jesus, he, God, pronoun. He is a being. A being. Now, if he's a supernatural being... And then he makes man as a supernatural being. I hope you finally get around to figuring out this thing is real. Look, God is a being. God, Jesus, he, pronoun, he is a being. Therefore, he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and infinite. Now, to be infinite, it comes through a word, infinite, which there is no limit. He is eternal. He is eternal. Eternal is like a ring. It goes around and around, and you're trying to figure out where it began or where it ends. There is no beginning or ending to it. Okay? Yeah. So he's not just like the air. He's a being. He has a dwelling place. We can call it heaven. The Bible does. All right. Go on to the next. Now, he'll explain this omniscient and omnipotent. Okay? This is from adoption, preached in 1960. And look what he says. A question was asked by a theologian, something, you know, a meeting here. He said, one question he asked, then is God omnipresent? Then he said, he can be everywhere. Now, watch him. I said, no, he is not omnipresent in the way that the word speaks omnipresent. He cannot be a being and then be an omnipresent. If he's omnipresent, why would you pray for the Holy Spirit? And if he's omnipresent, he fills every crack and corner, crevice, and every cell, fiber, everything else there is. I said, why did he hunt for Moses if he's omnipresent at the end? Why did he run up and down the Garden of Eden crying, Adam, Adam, where art thou, if he's omnipresent? once. He's omnipresent because he's omniscient. Okay? He knows everything because he's infinite. Being infinite makes him omnipresent. You know what he's saying? My definition is what? He's not on the moon today. Nobody up there. He don't have to be on the moon today. Nobody up there. Is that a simple explanation? But yet being infinite makes him omnipresent. He can be anywhere he needs to be. Because he's infinite. But yet he's not just omnipresent that he's just everywhere. He just got through explaining it. Once. Because he's infinite, being infinite makes him omnipresent. Being omnipresent then, being infinite, then he sits in the heavens. He abides in a place because he's a being.
Right. Amen.
Is your God a being?
Amen.
Now, do you want to go look up the word being? Is it necessary that we look up those from the Webster's definition to find out a word being means person? Or a point or a thought or, you know, something tangible, something real? But as I said, now, see, that's why I wish you would listen to the messages. See, I don't believe God before the world set up in heaven with a whole bunch of people like him. And then he started coming this way. Now get that garbage out of your mind because of the next things we're coming to where that he is, what? Self-existing. But I believe he existed alone before the world ever begun. And then he was just as real there as he is right now. And will forever be. Because he's God. What about it? Go on to the next one. This is talking from fellowship, so raise it on up. You can read all the way up and down to it and get it. But he's talking to another fellow, and he said something about God as a being. Now, God's just not like your, like the air. If he would, you would never have to seek the Holy Ghost. It would be in you because he'd fill all space and things. God's present, sure, by being omniscient, knowing all things, but God has a dwelling place. Because he is a being. He's real. He's not just a thought of your mind. Go ahead. Who is this Melchizedek, number 12? We can go through that up above, but that's all right. Because that deals with eternal life, which was with him and in him and his thinking. Before there was an angel and thought always was not your being here. But the shape and form of the infinite God. All right, we'll get back to those statements. Pull it on up to what we're wanting. He knows all things, all places because of his omnipresence. Omniscient makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He's a being. He dwells in a house. But being omniscient, knowing all things, makes him omnipresent because he knows everything that's going on. Is that sensible to understand? That he's a being. He's not just a myth. Let's get one more till we jump. Well, no, let's go ahead. Go ahead with number 13. Things that are to be. He's omnipresent because he's omniscient. Omniscient because he's omnipresent. Therefore, by his foreknowledge. Now, he can't be just like the wind over the earth because he is a being. He just isn't a myth. He's a being. He dwells. He even dwells in a house. He dwells in a place called heaven. And therefore, by his being omnipresent, being omniscient, knowing all things, then he is omnipresent because he knows all things. In other words, where he needs to be, he is there. Because of his omniscience. He is there, but he's a being. Well, Brother Dale, I just never had thought about God being a being. Well, where's your being being? Where have you been? Am I reading something or showing you something that you don't think is what Brother Branham said? I was talking to a man one day, and I said, would you hold on just a minute? Let me get my computer running, because my mind has done told you what the prophet said, but I can sure find it on paper. Well, he didn't care nothing about it. He didn't care what I had to say. You know what? I didn't care either, so I didn't fool with him. If he wasn't interested long enough for me to run it up to show, he didn't believe right around and said that. Well, do you believe he said these? Then what is he? Look at the next one. Adoption. He knows every sparrow that sits in the tree. He knows every thought that's in your mind, because he's infinite and omniscient. That is, he not only is he infinite, he's omniscient, he knows everything, but he is a being. God is a being, and out of this being begin to bring forth these. Now, if he's not real, where did he get anything to bring us from? Where did he get anything to bring us from? Look at the next one, number 15. Questions and answers on Genesis. Roll it on up, because he makes a man a spirit man. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. Listen to this statement. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and out of the Logos came forth the man. The first creation was God himself. There's another one of those, what? If that one while ago was a stumbler, where you would think about in the beginning but before the eternal. Now explain that one. The first creation was God himself. Well, it was a time God didn't exist, and then some Big Bang theory with the energies of force that they're doing, their teachings of that it was just, you just, all you go back to is a force. You go back to a just a blast, a force. Is that all God is? What about it? How real is your God? In his first creation was God himself. What is he meaning? The first thing that we can think about in our human minds, even by way of the prophet messenger, is to come to a basis of looking at something that their God dwelt totally alone. There wasn't no cameras and movies being made and all these supernatural little fellas running around and all, and God was the chief God, and you know what I love? I love the way a seventh grade education man could say it. I won't get it probably today. He said God existed alone. But he said he'll never do that again. He said he'll never do that again. Why? Because look who he brought into being. All right, what about it? Do you see how real he is? That's not real. That grove, that cup, that at one time was a little old, being, I guess it's hope, being a little old bitty acorn, just about like that. And that acorn came off the other acorn, that came off the other acorn, that came off the other acorn. So that pulpit was in Genesis. Right? No. Where did it come from? How real is your God? Do you ever talk to him as being somebody real? You don't have to holler up into heaven to get him to hear you. Why does the Bible say pray without ceasing? And how are you going to do that? Okay. We're going to pray. Y'all pray. We'll be sitting here 5 years from now. Y'all pray. We pray. No, that's stupid. Pray without ceasing is what? To have a prayerful attitude in your mind. And you are praying. You ever heard of a man like Brother Branham? I was listening to him one day, and I laughed, and I cried to think about it, what he's saying. But he said, I went out to pray the other day. He said, I got down in the woods, and he said, I was going to pray. And said, the briars was sticking me. And said, I moved over. Now, I'm paraphrasing, so it may not be exactly verbatim, but it's very close. He said, I moved over to another place. He said, and the mosquitoes got to getting me. And said, they were just eating me. Said, after a while, I said, just do all you want to. I'm going to pray anyway. He was real. How real is your God? Ain't no Santa Claus. Right? Ain't no thoughts like that. He's real. Why don't you talk to him like he's real? Right? Oh, but what have we been taught? Can I quote you, prophet? He said, we was taught to get in front of a picture. You never heard him say that? Get down before an idol and pray. I've heard preachers in this message say, you ought to have a picture of Jesus at the altar where you can get your mind on Jesus when you come to be prayed for. If you ain't got your mind on Jesus before you come up here, it wouldn't do you no good if Jesus was standing here himself. But you see, we think we're so great, we're so spiritual. Yeah, we're spiritual, all right. What about a self-existing, a being, a person? Now, quote Brother Branham, he's not the third person. He's not the second person. He's not even the first person. Because see, if you had a first or second or third, you'd have more than one. So you could have more. He said, but he is the person. Amen. Come on, why you want to scare your kids with all kind of little stories about the angels and things running all over the place and trying to do this and that and the other? Why you want to scare your kids with all those thoughts when it's not Bible? Don't tell your kids that God is mad at them. Come on, because you tell them that, I'll tell you he's mad at you. He's mad at you for being that stupid. Don't threaten your kids with a God that they can't see. Because they'll go down the street and see a Santa Claus they think is real. Don't threaten your kids with all these things. Come on, what do you think's wrong with the world today? Why won't they accept the fact that hell's not eternal? Because they ain't got nothing to scare you getting to the altar. I watch these preachers and this message and their scare tactics and these things and fill the altar with kids with scare tactics. I'm sorry. But it just gets on you. When you can see the stupidity of mankind and what he's talking about. Threatening those kids with a with a God that they can't see. Tell them about a God that can be seen. Sister Gail, we started a Sunday school class years ago. She said, what do you want me to teach them kids? I said, I want you to teach them kids about a David with a slingshot. I said, but I want you to tell them kids that they are of the same caliber and that they can take their little slingshot and defeat the devil with that little slingshot that David had, that they've got their little one. Something that's real. But see, most people have never seen anything supernatural, so it's hard to explain the supernatural. It's hard to explain to people about things if they don't experience it. And then those that have experienced it, they think they're exalted or something else by telling it. I don't think Brother Branham was exalted or built up or anything in the world of telling the things that happened in his ministry and the times that he met God and that angel and all of the things. I don't make him a bit of that. You know what? I believe he's telling the truth. But see, have you ever seen anything real that's more real than you are? But what about him? Let's get just one or two right here because I want to get this part. We'll have it for Sunday. Go ahead with number 16. We just cut out five quotes, okay? You think that I'm long-winded. The unveiling of God. Look. Now, Elohim, the English calls God, but it really wasn't Elohim. Anything can be a God. It can be God. To the word God, you can make an idol a God. You can make that piano a God. You can make anything a God. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. It means a self-existing one. That piano cannot be self-existing. Nothing else can be self-existing. Right? So the word Elohim means he that always existed. And God can mean anything. See the difference in the word, congregation, I'm saying amen. Can you say amen? God is an object of worship. He wasn't God in the word God until he created the angels to worship him. But once they worshiped him, it didn't take you worshiping him to make him God. It took the angels worshiping him, and that made him the word God. It's so amazing to me to go back, because I used to read it, but Scofield and them back when I was in the Baptist, and see those words and things over in Genesis, or Logos, Theophanies and things. I used to read those things and enjoy it, because you go back to Scofield and it says the Elohim means the self-existing one who is revealing himself. He's revealing himself. You think God is not real? Who pulled the skins off of those animals in the garden? Now, you come on, you don't get play with me with words. Who pulled the skins off them animals? I'll show you where Brother Brown said God did. Well, he had to come down in some form to do this, to form it. Form all you want to. God is real. But he's self-existing. Look at the next one. They identified Christ of all ages. But Elohim means self-existing. This desk is not self-existing. The man is not self-existing. The tree is not self-existing. But Elohim is self-existing one, manifested in flesh, standing there eating, drinking milk, and all he's talking about over there with. Right? I'm not talking about Jesus. He's talking about Melchizedek coming to Abraham. He saw somebody. He knew he was real. Well, you don't understand. He just had to bring this in to do that. I understand what your prophet said. And he said, come here, Gabriel. Come here, Michael. He said, He said, step into that body. Step into that. And he said, he just stepped into one himself. I understand. But where did he step from, and what was he before he stepped? Now, I don't make a joke with Brother Ray about it, but we do have sometimes some jokes and fun about him. But you know, wouldn't it be something for him to jump in my body? He'd be running mighty loose. What do you mean? I mean, God created a body and stepped into it. May I quote Brother Branham with Moses at the time of seeing the back part of the man? May I quote him as saying he saw Jesus in theophany? What about it? One more. Mighty God unveiled. In the beginning, there's where we are. He wasn't even God. Now, our English word God today, God means an object of worship. How confusing it is to the mind. You can make somebody a God. You can make anything a God. But in the Old Testament, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, the word is used Elohim. Elohim means a self-existing one. What a difference the word Elohim is to our word God. Elohim means a self-existing one. Now, when he says Elohim, if you look it up, you'll find that it's 32 or 33 times that the word God is used in Genesis 1. And every one of them is Elohim. 30, okay. Check it. See, God done this, God done that. You mean we can play with those words? May I state, Brother Branham, I believe now it's unveiling of God. He says, in the beginning was Elohim, Elohim was with Elohim, and Elohim was Elohim, and Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. He knew how to use the word Elohim of what it was. What I love about it is, I told you the other day about it, go back in the beginning and look at it. It's actually E-L-E-L-A-H, Elohim. That's the way it's pronounced. Watch Brother Branham in his pronunciation. Elohim. He goes exactly back to the original in the Greek or the Hebrew, every one of the Old Testament part. He knew how to say it just right. Elohim, the self-existing. You mean there was a self-existing one who existed alone that was this being you're talking about, Brother Dale? That was this real person that you're talking about? Yes. He's Elohim. The self-existing one. And just remember the statement I made Sunday. When you're dealing with the word Elohim and God and the word Son and the word Father, Father, the word Son, the word God. There is nobody in existence at that time but angels. He's already Father. He's already Son. The fall made him healer and Savior. The fall never made him God. The fall never made him Father, except his real Father, the way he wanted to be. See, Brother Branham makes statements, folks, that sometimes we need to analyze them. He's speaking one time about the Son of Man, and he said, see, that was the only way he could be Father, was to be the Son of Man. Maybe you don't listen. Maybe you don't pay attention. I'm getting older. And I realize that Nanny and I, we listen to a lot of tapes. And sometimes I take a doze in the middle of it. She gets on to me about me snoozing over there, and then I sit there and grin, because I look over right a while, and she goes, we have a lot of fun out of it. But you know what? I can wake up. And I can listen. You know? And I can believe. Why wouldn't you want to know more about God? Why would you not want to know more about your God? When he's done all he's done, go on, musician, all he's done to get everything in line to help us to understand, why wouldn't you want to know more about your God? A being, a person, a reality. Far greater than anything you and I can ever comprehend. Why wouldn't we want to know more about him? We sing songs, Lord, I want to see you. But do we really mean that? Do we really mean we want to see him? Or do we want to just stay with our own thoughts and ideas of some concept, of some spirit floating around? I hope this has got away from that part. Because if he's a being, he's not like the wind. He's not a spirit just floating around. And the prophet even explained that he's not omnipresent because he's a being. He's limited to the point that he can't be everywhere. Come on. Wasn't you listening a while ago? He's limited himself. You explain it some other way. He's limited himself to the point that he can't do it. One of these days I'll preach on how sin is gone and how it's placed in the sea of forgetfulness. A God with amnesia that can't remember the things that I've done. He made it that way. He put it in that form. What do we got?
119.
Let's stand. Anybody have a need?
Blessed assurance. Blessed
assurance.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
Our sister needs this prayer call for a great need. So we just ask you to step on the scene now. Make manifest what she's asking for. Bring it to pass and just show her all is well. In Jesus' name.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descend. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story.
my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest.
You heard our brothers, they need help. They need help from you, Lord. They know and realize that they can't fulfill any desires they would have without you being there, coming on the scene. So now they need you as an instructor and guide and deliverer and leading them into business and things to work. And Lord, we know and for surety that they've done a lot of good, Lord. They've sent a lot of, put a lot of money into missionary works and things. And we're not trying to bargain with you, Lord. We're just reminding you that they've tried to do some things right. Now just come on the scene, Lord, and just work out all of their problems and troubles and heartaches that they have, and let you be the one that would have the preeminence, Father, and let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that just have a need?
Jesus is mine.
I've asked if you would to listen or read Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, because that's a great message to express the entire plan of God and His doings, and a lot that we'll be talking out of could be coming from that. So that I'm just asking you to do that, where you'll know what He says. Now, I want you to know Brother Branham said these things. And that's the only reason I can say that we haven't been attacked so much, because I thought when we opened up the internet and things that we'd be so burdened and so flooded with all kind of garbage until it would just about shut us down trying to run. But it's not been that way, and God's took care of it. And I believe it's because of the fact that we've put on tape the ministry here of what we believe, as Brother Branham said. Well, at least they got to argue about what he said. They can have their own quotes and problems and doubles and all, you know, but they can't argue about what's being said, because it is what the prophet has said. And I thank God for him sending us a ministries that will stay with the word and walk on with it like that. But just listen to the message and pay close attention to what Brother Branham would be talking about, God's plan and purpose. You're going to find this thing goes back further than your foreknowledge. It goes back further than just your foreknowledge. Because remember, foreknowledge is just what everything is after you get here. Knowledge of what takes place. You mean God didn't know this was going to take place? You mean God didn't know you would be in church tonight? You know, God didn't know that we would say what we said tonight? What do you think he is? What do you think he is? What do you think about God? If he's real, why would we cry for him to come down? The Bible's always tried to tell us not to do that. Why would we call God down? No, we don't call God down. We call him on the scene. We believe it. Right? Think on these things. Father, we just commit everything into your hands, Lord, and we believe you. We pray that what we said tonight was to be worthy for you. And Lord, that you'd guide us in our thinking. And Lord, that you would direct us in what to do and whatever things that we try to do. And we're sorry for sometimes being sounding like we're hateful and arrogant and mad or upset with somebody. We're not. We're just mad at the devil and his ways of doing all of us, and what he's done to us, and still is trying his best to do everything. But yet we know a God that has promised us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And we believe you, Lord, and we've seen you. You've never failed us yet. 40-something years, we can stand here and say that you've never failed to come on the scene when we needed you. And Father, if people don't believe that, then that's all right. That's their business. But I know it, and I understand it. And just have your way with us. Be with everybody on the way home, Lord. Let your loving grace be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh.